Craig, you've been through this as an assistant general manager, but what was it like going through exit meetings as a general manager for the first time?
Well, you know, the difference is I'm doing most of the talking. You know, I let the players talk, but, you know, we go back and forth and questions and just kind of get a read. And pretty similar, you know, as an assistant GM, I just kind of sat and listened most of the time. But, yeah, so, you know, you wouldn't want to be doing it right now. The guys don't want to be doing it right now, but, hey, this is where we're at right now.
I know you're disappointed the team didn't make the playoffs, but was there a different tone, a different mood this season compared to last season?
I think so. You know, I really do. I think, you know, obviously they're not where we want to be. They're not where I want to be, the organization, the city as a whole. But, you know, it felt like there was a lot of optimism in the conversations. You know, hey, we got to take some steps. We got to move forward. But I didn't feel any negativity or people upset or unhappy. And, you know, you guys would probably be able to tell better when they did their interviews. I haven't seen any of them yet, but it was, you know, last year I didn't like the tone of what was said with everyone leaving. It was just didn't feel right, but I did not get that upstairs from the guys.
What was the conversation with Jacob Markstrom like? Because we know after the trade deadline, he said he wasn't thrilled with the way his sort of name was out there in trade rumors. What was the conversation like?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that wasn't something anybody was happy with. I mean, you know, I didn't like to hear about probably 15 of our guys' names out in trade deadline stuff. I mean, nobody wants to hear that. So, I mean, we just, you know, Marky explained where he was at, and, you know, I talked to him about where we were at, and, you know, Pat Morris, and everybody kind of knows now. So, you know, that's obviously we're going to keep that between ourselves. But, you know, it was cordial. He was good. He was a great pro. I mean, that's the one thing. I know he wasn't happy, but the way he treated the staff, the coaches, you guys, I think, you know, he was upset, I think, with the way things went down, and I get it. I my name's been out in rumors too, and there's been things said, and it's a lot on you and your family. So, you know what? We had a good talk, and then, you know, just like with everybody else.
Do you envision him a part of this team next season?
You know, time will tell with all that, with everything we're doing. I mean, the one thing we're trying to do is figure out how we move this thing forward to get to a point where we're not sitting here talking to you guys right now. You know, you want it after. You don't want to know when the end date is. You want to know, okay, we lost in game six. We won the Stanley Cup. I mean, those are the things you're trying to achieve here. So you don't want to, you know, it's hard to put today expectations of what's going to happen in a month or a day or a week or, you know, moving forward.
With that though, Craig, including Dustin Wolf in the conversation, do you anticipate having three goalies come September?
I mean, I guess the day after the last game, it's tough to say. You know, right now, we have three goalies. You know, and talking to Vladdy today, you know, he's excited. His hip's feeling good. And we just have to, you know, that's going to be a work in progress. And that's something I got to deal with moving forward here.
Given the guys who didn't want to stay, who didn't want to resign, I think I asked you a similar question when you were introduced last year. Does this club have a job to do to show NHL players that this is a place to play, that this is a destination?
Well, I think, you know, what I like with the exit meetings today were guys were upset about not being where our goal was to make the playoffs. They were upset about that, but they weren't. There wasn't this negativity or they were upset about coming to the rink every day. I mean, I even watched them the day before we went to our last game, you know, on the road, and just the excitement that was, they were having fun still. They were enjoying themselves. They were playing little games. They were cheering. And I'm thinking, you know, we wouldn't have seen that last year. So I guess we're taking little steps at a time. And, you know, in the end, you know, they're the ones that are playing each night. I said, I can't score a goal. I can't block a shot. I can't make a save. It's those guys in the room. And it feels like they're coming together. Obviously, you know, like I said, we have work to do. But I don't feel like last year it felt like there was a real negativity around it. And I don't think it's Calgary, the Calgary Flames. It just the situation wasn't good last year. I don't know if the expectations, but the expectations are always high here, and I just felt like this year I didn't get the same vibe from the players leaving. You know, last year it was more of a negative thing for whatever reason.
Can you
this will mean more coming from you than any of us sort of guessing at it. Can you explain the importance of that tone being better, of that optimism being there?
Well, I think the tone, you know, yeah. I mean, I like that they're disappointed. You know, they're not happy with where they are. You know, I think they want to, everyone wants to make the playoffs. I mean, there's not, if you make it to the NHL, you're not just saying, I just want to play in the NHL. The goal is to do what these guys are going to start doing on Saturday, and that's to have a chance to win a cup. I mean, yeah, I don't think I ever went into one season where I thought, well, we're not going to win, or we're, no. I can do something about that every night. I can maybe score, or Jerome, you know, we can do something to get us in. But, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for any team in the NHL. They have to come every night and win. If it's a 2-1 game or a 1-0 game, you know, that's what it's all about, you know. So I don't think the expectations for any team, San Jose Sharks, you know, it, maybe they're last in the standings, they're going to come in with a different attitude next year. I mean, we're all going to do the same thing. We all start with 0 points, and you want to get to a point where you're like, okay, we're in the playoffs, and that's the goal.
There's this line of thinking, though, that goes that, you know, the only way to build a contender long-term is to bottom out. You know what it is. Get some really high picks. Get the young superstars and build around them. But I look at the teams below you in the standings, and there's a lot of them that haven't been in the playoffs or haven't won playoff games in a really, really long time. So what is the model that you would like to follow?
Well, I mean, you're trying to look at a team like Dallas. You know, they had good veteran core. They've added really good day. They had a great draft. They really did. You know, the one draft, you know, with Heskinen and Ottinger and it's one of those drafts, you know, so you have to have some drafts. They brought in some free agents, you know, even this year, you look at the guys they brought in, they made some trades. I mean, so it's not just to go to the very bottom, like everybody says, okay, go right to the bottom. Because the one thing, if you go, in my opinion, if you go with a completely young team that, well, how do they get to learn to win, you know, in those close games? Hey, you might lose games. You know, my philosophy is a guy like Zari, Pospisil, Coronado, Wolf, they need to take a step next year. You know, they were in the NHL this year. They know what it is. Now they need to take a step. Because I don't know, with the veteran guys, we had guys with career years. We hope they have the same career year next year, but with these other guys taking a step. And who is coming underneath, you know? Are there trades? Are there, you know, who are you going to get in the draft? There's a little bit of unknown there, so you don't really know names yet. But, yeah, you want to constantly be pushing. You want to sprinkle in these young guys, see how they do, and see which ones rise. And then next year we expect more out of each of them coming in. And they hopefully they expect more out of themselves.
We talked to a lot of these guys, and even Huska said playoffs is the goal next season. So you've got those veterans that you probably want to convince to stick out through this rebuild, but you've also got draft assets now. Like, are you going to be making moves with the idea of bringing in immediate help to get this team into playoff contention next season?
Well, I think you're always looking, you know, even when we were making the trades this year, you'd love to grab guys from 22 to 18 that are drafted, maybe a couple young guys, 23, or in that age group. Those players are hard to kind of pry out of teams. You know, that's what you're trying to do. But, you know, if there's a deal, you know, I think of deals in the past, Montreal has done it, a few teams have done it, they went and traded for younger players. You know, is there an opportunity to do that? Maybe not like an 18-year-old, but, you know, is there a 20, 21-year-old? So you're always looking to see if you can add that. Not easy, because not a lot of teams want to give them up. But with the cap, if a team's really going for it, if someone wants to, you know, add a veteran in free agency, maybe there's an opportunity. So, you know, I think as we move forward, we're looking at anything. If we make the draft pick, if we use a draft pick, or if there's some way to improve our team with a younger player in that kind of age bracket, would be ideal for us.
Greg, is there any sort of nervousness as a general manager on a day like today? And I ask that in the sense of, you know, there's been this speculation that there might be a line out your door of guys who wanted to tell you that they didn't want to be part of a rebuild. And that's not what we heard here. But were you wondering what you'd get in these meetings today?
A little bit uncertainty going in. You don't know what guys are thinking. Like, you know, when you talk to guys at the rink, or, you know, and now this is their forum where they can kind of tell you what they're thinking. And you want to know what they're thinking. You don't want to be surprised in a month from now. But I do think, you know, they enjoy the city. They enjoy playing here. They want to win here. They'd like to win as quick as possible, you know. And with what kind of we had to do this year, you know, we lost some very good players. We brought in some other younger guys. We're trying to give some younger players a look. You know, I think everybody wants it to be, you know, if we could have just snapped our fingers and been in the playoffs this year, that was the goal. I mean, it's always the goal, like I said before, to make the playoffs. But, you know, we want to continue to keep building on something. And I think being able to get all these young guys in, you know, with Pospisil, Zari, Coronado, and Wolf, it was just a few of them, but you saw all the other guys come up. We need to continue to grow with those guys, and with our veteran guys had some great years. A lot of them had career years, so you know, we got to continue to do that moving forward. And hey, it's not going to be easy. The West it's tough in the West. I mean, every team you look at, they're good. I mean, I can't wait to watch the playoffs, you know, and that's part of it. How do we build a team that's going to get us to compete with these teams in the West? It's going to take a little bit of time, but you know, you never know when something's going to fall in your lap as far as a trade or a player, and you know, and you need other guys to step up. So all the young guys, even the ones that didn't make it up this year, you know, the Hanzigs of the world, we need to have great summers and come to compete for a spot next year. You know,
how does it feel being in that situation where you have guys on this team, especially veterans, who they want to win on this team, but you just said it now, like, it's going to take time to build that contending team, and you've acknowledged that it is a retool. What's it like juggling those two positions?
Well, I mean, like I said, they actually have the choice. They're the ones making the plays and winning and losing, you know, so, you know, I can't do that for them. You know, they have to do that for themselves, and I think the one thing I say, I never really felt the effort wasn't there this year. Yeah, you're going to have games you win, lose. We had some stretches where we didn't like. The start of the year really set us back. I mean, if we don't get off to that start, you know, who knows? It probably doesn't change that we have to move the other guys when we did, because we couldn't get them. You know, we just couldn't come to terms with them, what contract worked for them and what contract worked for us. So that's why we had to move past them. You know, I think that's part of having a salary cap, though. You have to juggle how much each player's worth and their value and term, and you know, those are the hard decisions. And if the player feels like they're worth one thing and we believe another, that's, you know, we just couldn't come to terms with a few of them, and then you know, we had to make the moves. So, you know, with that said, we have guys under contract, we have guys locked in. We're not in a position where we're have to move anybody out. Like, we can just move forward, and we're trying to get better.
How active do you expect to be at free agency, or is there merit in saving cap space?
Cap space is a weapon for sure. You know, you want to have cap space because there's going to be teams that are going to have, even though it's going to go up, a lot of teams have spent money, a lot of teams, but there might be players out there that need to be on the move only to create cap space for maybe someone has someone else in free agency. You know, do I think 7-year deals right now are the way to go? Probably not. But we do have space. We do have money. And we're going to have to see kind of what the landscape kind of unfolds, you know, as the trade deadline approaches. Because we do have a few holes we need to add, you know. But how do we add that? What type of piece, again, term and contract are going to make a difference in what we're trying to do here. Because we're the one thing, you, like I said, with the young guys, you want to bring in some veteran guys that can – we have veteran guys here to help get them better. You know, you don't want the team losing every night by 10 goals. That doesn't do anything good. Did they ever really get better? I don't know. And then you see some teams that have been trying to get out of that trend for, you know, 7, 8, 9 years. You know, we're trying to see if – our goal is to be turn it over as quickly as possible and move forward.
What's the difference between rebuild and retool then, as far as the Calgary Flames are concerned?
I think when you look at a rebuild, you tear it right to the ground. You get rid of every player you have. You don't have veteran players. You're not looking to spend money. You know, you're not looking to win. You want to lose. You want to try to get that high pick, the first overall pick. And in reality, some teams can do it. Some teams want to do it. That's the way to do it. I think in a Canadian market, with the players we have under contract with our core group, that doesn't make any sense for us. You know, for us, we're saying, okay, look at that Dallas model. Look how they did it. I guess that's a retool. they made draft picks. They brought in players. They added a few veterans here and there. You know, I think you look at that team, and I think they're right in the kind of win now mode, and they did it over a short period of time. And they had a great draft, and it might take a little bit of time, but we have some very good players in this team and young guys that have taken steps, and we need to continue to take another step.
Jonathan Huberdeau obviously showed serious improvement as the season went by, particularly after December. But like, it's hard to ignore he finished with 52 points and a minus 29. What does a successful year look like next year for Jonathan Huberdeau?
I think this, probably like you said, probably after Christmas on, would be what we expect. The one thing, Jonathan's always working hard. He comes to practice, he works, he goes to the game. I think he almost wants it so bad. You know, when he puts so much pressure on himself, it'd be nice for us to be able to take the pressure off him. But, you know, when you're the highest paid player on the team, that always doesn't happen. But we just want him to come and play the way he did down the stretch. You know, he competes, he back checks, he's working hard. He's trying to do exactly what the structure is, what the game plan is, you know. And I think if he does that, he comes into camp again another year. I'd like to find chemistry. I'd like to get him a player with chemistry. Seems like he has a little bit of chemistry with guys, but that's something I have to try to figure out this summer.
When it comes to Jacob Pelletier, obviously that injury was just so hard to evaluate a guy's year after an injury. So what do you take from just what was obviously like an incredibly challenging season for him?
You feel bad for Jacob. I mean, he came into great shape, missed a lot of time, came back. The Trouba hit set him back again, and I think we just thought, would we have loved to have seen him down the stretch? Yes, absolutely. But with that said, we want him to get in and play as much as he can, you know, have a good playoff run, and just have a great summer and come back. I mean, the one thing Jacob brings is you notice his speed, even in the games in Boston and when we just came back, it was noticeable. The speed was there. I'm like, ooh, he looks. And then the injury against the Rangers, it's a disappointing season for him. You know, I can't imagine what he's going through right now, but for him to go down and have fun, have a successful, play a ton, and just regroup. I mean, he's part of our plans moving forward. So, you know, you don't want him to overthink it. It's just about playing in a season that, you know, the injuries were just unfortunate.
When you have a guy like Pospisil who went from, and maybe this is just the external view, but went from a little further down your list of prospects mm-hmm. to suddenly playing as a full-timer in the NHL, like, does it change the way you look at your own guys? Does it change the way you kind of look at what you have in the system?
I think we always believed in Pospisil. I mean, that was the one thing. The size, you see what he can do. The injuries were he could not catch a break for two or three years. He just kept getting injured. So to have him be able to come back this year, and you can see why. He plays only one way. He plays all out, every shift, all game, right down to the last minute. And that's what we love about him. And I believe he still has another level of skill. You know, you'll see as he goes. I think it's only going to get more and more comfortable. And he's got a great shot, great hands. And he's going to be a big part of this team for a long, long time. So, yeah, but you have to give these guys chances. I mean, and that's what we talked about last year was, you know, maybe not going out and signing a bunch of free agents. Well, we didn't have money, but, you know, the other thing was we wanted to give young guys an opportunity. And now you look back, it was, you know, it's exciting for us. You know, even though we got sent down at the beginning, you know, you think, okay, we got a really good player here. And, you know, same thing for Zari, you know, coming in and playing as well as he did from kind of November on.
Right, between having 24 picks and including five first-rounders in the next 3 years, nine picks and two first-rounders this year, and the want and need to add players in their late teens and early 20s, how important are your amateur and professional scouting staffs going to be, and how excited are they about the role that they're probably going to play moving forward?
Well, I know the amateur guys love having all the, you know, the four picks in the first four rounds. So, you know, they were talking about that last week. They're excited. But again, you know, we got to dial in. You know, that's where we're at right now. We want to make sure background, everything we're doing, we want to dial in on the kids that we really like. And, you know, and that's what I said. If it's your first pick or your last pick in the sixth round this year, we want to make sure each pick's important. we want to put a jersey on a guy that we think is going to be a Calgary Flame. So, you know, they're excited, they're dialed in, and you know, they're ready though. You know, and I said if there's trade opportunities, like the pro guys need to be ready, the amateur guys need to be ready, and you know, you just because you never know when it's going to happen. You know, obviously the trade deadline is a time, but you know, from here to the start of September, you got to make phone calls and keep talking to people and figure out if there's some fits. You know, that you kind of talk to teams about what your needs might be looking forward, and they'll say, you know, and they'll give you some ideas what they're thinking about their team. So it's a puzzle, but I think everybody in the organization is excited, especially on that side, pro and amateur.
It's very early to tell, obviously, but is there a type of player you're looking for, particularly with that first pick you're going to have in this summer's draft?
You know, I think at 9, it'll be interesting because I think teams are going to pick the way they want to pick before us, and then that'll, you know, you kind of see how the first 3 or 4 picks go, and you'll have an idea, oh, okay, I think it's going to be this player or that player at that point. And we still, our list is not set in stone yet. I mean, they're still, we have another meeting coming up soon, and there'll be battles right till the end to try to move a guy, especially now that they know where we're picking. So, you know, it's a fun process. It's exciting time of year, and everybody, you know, the draft's one of my favorite parts of this job. So, you know, everybody's looking forward to it, but we're really trying to dial in now to make sure we make the right pick.
Jay Greer has been quite vocal about wanting to stay here. I felt like prior to his injury, he was he was making an impact. Would you like to see him back if possible?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked to AJ and his representation just to, you know, but again, we want to sit down, have our meeting, see where we're at. But he was great. I mean, he came in and gave us everything that we wanted. He gave us that physical presence. Unfortunately, with the injury, he came back, you know, even he would say he wasn't feeling 100% like he was before. He didn't have the same explosiveness in skating, and you know, so he's got to get healthy, but you know, couldn't ask for more from what he did for us this year.
Are there any other injuries or any other surgeries that guys might have to go through?
I think we're gonna have some guys go and see the doc, but I don't know, you know, when you get MRIs and the doctors we might know that in a week or two.
What can you say about Oliver Shillington's play down the stretch and his possible future with the club?
Well, first, just to have him back playing was special, you know. And, you know, Ollie said today, you know, he wants to continue to play hockey, which is the thing we needed to hear. So, you know, we'll be obviously talking to JP and seeing where this goes down the, you know, in the next month or so. So, yeah, it's just, for me personally, just to see him back playing from where he was a couple years ago to where he is now, and just, I'm just so excited for him. So I'm happy, and he's excited.
And I guess when you took this job 11 months ago, you had a lot of plates to spin, a head coach, 7 pending UFAs, there's a bunch of stuff going on. I guess how much different is the job going to be for you this summer with sort of a lot of stuff has already been dealt with, and it seems like, at least from the outside, there's a lot fewer fires to put out, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a whirlwind to start for sure. But I think, you know, you're keying in on the draft right now. You know, I'm going to go to Finland here in a few days. So you're continuing to work through, but it is nice not to have all the staffing issues, the coach, assistant coaches. It just, it'll free up more time to do other stuff that, you know, there's only so much time in a day. So it is nice to kind of have a few things behind us. And now, you know, what's the planning moving forward? We have pro meetings, amateur scouting meetings. We got big tournaments coming up.
This is a weird question for you. Obviously, Jerome's son is a prominent draft prospect, but obviously he's someone that has a great insight into a lot of the young players in your draft class. So in this situation, like, how involved is Jerome in terms of the draft talks, and like, will you let him know his son's spot on the list, those kind of things?
We don't talk about where Tej is on the list. Like, he doesn't read Tej's reports or anything like that. It just doesn't feel quite comfortable. But yeah, on everything else, tons of input. He's got great background. He knows a lot of these kids personally. Like, so he's either coached against him when he was out east, or he knows him from you know, things that his sons have played against the kids. So yeah, that information is invaluable. I mean, you're always looking to get an insight to what a player's like, what his family's like, and Jerome's a wealth of knowledge, especially this year.
Follow-up question, but you have no problem putting Tiege on your draft list?
You know, we're going to just make the list the way, yeah. You know, every player is just from one to, I don't know how many we have on there right now, maybe 72, but, you know, that's kind of, yeah, we're just going to put everybody on the list it should be.
Craig, if there is a veteran, like Jake was a little non-committal, but if there is a veteran that isn't sure they want to see this through, they want to go win a cup in a more immediate way, like what's your selling point to them to stick this through here in Calgary?
You know, you always want people to give you an opportunity and a chance to show them what you're going to do. You know, it's easy just to say, I want to go somewhere else. I want to, you know, the hard part is to be a part of it. Because it's going to be hard work. It's not going to be easy. It's not easy for any team. I mean, there's not one team that's probably out there thinking, well, that was the easiest regular season ever. You know, even the teams are at the top. You know, they had their struggles along the way. And for us, you know, we had some stretches where, you know, we need to get consistency. We can't have those long win. You know, we'd win long 4 or 5, lose 4 or 5. You know, and we just have to kind of come together as a team and find ways to limit the losses as much as we can and win close games, you know. And there's been some teams that, for whatever reason, lower than us in the standing, we have not had success against. So it's those are the frustrating ones, because you're like, you beat some very good teams, then maybe lose the teams that you have to beat because other teams are beating them. And we weren't able to do it this year.
Ask about Nazem Kadri and the job that he did for you guys this year, because I don't know if it's because of the hits in Toronto in the playoffs or what, but, you know, I think that he had a bit of a reputation, and then we watched him. You guys trusted him with your two prized young prospects, then you put him with, you know, Kuzmenko. Like, we just saw this guy sort of take on whatever was thrown at him, and it seemed like he was a real leader for the team. Just, can you just talk, or just tell me a little bit about what you saw from him?
Amazing year from Naz. I mean, the one thing is, you know, whoever we put with him played better. And I know there's a lot of work when you play with young guys. He's helping them. You know, you see him on the bench, he's talking to him all the time. So as much as you're trying to get your game going, you're getting other guys' games going too. But really, he turned those two guys, he really helped turn those guys into NHL players. And then when Kuzi got with him, pretty good line. I mean, the way they played, I mean, the chemistry that they seemed to have, Kuzmenko on the power play seemed to turn things around too. It just put everybody in the right spot. So yeah, you can't say enough about the year Naz had. That's special. I wish, you know, you're hoping for 30 last night for him, but yeah, he for sure probably our most consistent forward all year. And what he did with whoever he played with, he made him better.
Kuzmenko and Sharon Govich. You can start talking long-term extensions for these guys this summer. Is that something you'd entertain?
Well, I think, you know, you want to talk to their representation and just see where they're at. And, you know, we're not going to rush anything right now. We have some time. But we're also going to have our meetings, our pro meetings, and then try to figure out, you know, the plan moving forward. We have a plan. It's just now how we execute.
What did you think of Ryan Huska's first year on the job as head coach and the rest of the coaching staff? And do you foresee all of the coaches on the coaching staff coming back next year?
First, yeah, I feel like they're all going to come back. I mean, again, it's a learning curve for all of them. You know, especially Ryan, first-time head coach, I thought he was excellent. You know, the way he deals with the media, the way he deals with players, there's going to be learning curves, just like for myself. You know, you make mistakes, this is good, this isn't. You know, you're going to change as you go, but you have to give everybody time. And I think you know, I know the power play, we were on the power play early, but Savvy had definitely had things he wanted to do. You'd watch what he drew up, and we needed to execute. We didn't always execute the way we'd like. Penalty kill was good. Maybe penalty kill at the end of the year struggled a little bit, but you lost some very good penalty killers down the stretch. But we're also – so I think it's just a learning curve for the whole group. And I do feel like, you know, especially for Husk, I thought it's the way he handled himself – the way he dealt with situations along the year. And, you know, his goal is always to improve, and he's a tireless worker behind the scenes too. And he's a fierce competitor. You know, he's kind of got that personality where he looks like he's not going to get upset. He's a fierce competitor. So, I mean, nobody wants to win more than him. And I thought he had a great first year.
You mentioned, you know, the youth movement and having spots open for young players. Is it safe to say you sort of have that in mind going forward, sort of keeping some spots open for young guys to fight over?
Well, we have, you know, we have a few guys under contract right now, so it's probably not. But yeah, you know, you want competition. You want the best player to be. It's the NHL. You know, it's just not because you have a contract or you're this player or that player. You want the best player in, and we want these young guys pushing, just like they did this year. So we want them to take another steps, and all these guys underneath to try to say, okay, I'm coming to take a job so I can play in the NHL.